proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. We continue today the teaching by our guest speaker, Brother Howard Rothenberg, who is a Jewish believer who serves with us at IBJM in South Florida. Brother Rothenberg shared a fascinating series on the Jewish people at the 2013 four-day focus that was held here at IBJM. We now continue with his message.
So here's Genesis 12, right, outlining this. I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless them that bless thee, he says. I'll make your name great, and he is great. In Hebron, where he's buried, you have Muslims coming, Christians coming, and Jews coming. Three of the major religions of the world are flocking to Abraham's burial site. Why? Because he's got a great name. That name never disappeared. Thou shalt be a blessing. Notice, it's a channel of blessing. And there's this principle, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee. And start looking at the history of the nations that cursed Israel and what happened to them. Look at Germany, look at Russia, look at Spain, look at all these countries, look at Poland, and look at what happened to them after they cursed the Jewish people. And we took them on our shores here. We took the Jews on our shore and we've been blessed. And isn't it amazing? That principle always holds, whether the Jews believe or not. I believe it's still the same principle. Because it's through them we get the Messiah, through them that we got this Bible, right? And it's through them, ultimately, that the world will be blessed in the millennium. And so they're a blessing. God uses them as a blessing. All right, let's go skip ahead a little. And I want you to go to Genesis 17. I am skipping ahead. Well, no, go to 16. I'm sorry. I don't want to miss this one because it's an important one. And it affects Jewish history. Sarah is getting old. She doesn't have a child. She has a lot less faith than Abraham. And she tells Abraham to take Hagar, her maid, go into her, which was custom that you could do that, and have a child. And when Sarah does that, right, when she gives Hagar to Abraham, that child becomes Ishmael. And that's a pivotal move. Her lack of faith leads to an amazing rift in between the Arabs and the Jews. Because out of Ishmael is going to come basically the Edomites, mingling with them, Saudi Arabia, the Muslim religion. All the conflicts in the Middle East are traceable to this one act that Sarah made. So isn't it interesting that one deviation can cause such repercussions, can have such a far-reaching effect? Because Sarah should have waited, but she convinced her husband to have a child. And that child comes out Ishmael. He, you know, basically means God hears. And you know what it really means when God hears? See, Hagar had nothing to do with this. She didn't ask to be used by Abraham. And she's very depressed. She's very lonely. She's kicked out of the house because Sarah now feels she's rivaling her. And God gives her a promise. He says, you know, I'm going to make him a great nation too. And what did he do? He created the Arabs. A great nation. And they are a great nation. They gave us culture. It's through the Arabs. We get a lot of things through the Arabs. You don't realize it. But the thing is, they're in conflict with the Jews. And she saw that, Sarah, when they were babies. When Isaac was just a couple of months old, you know. She saw that whole scene unplaying, and she said, get rid of him, you know. Get rid of Ishmael, because the son of a slave won't be the heir. Meaning he's the son of a slave. And that, again, is another picture of two types of people. The slave people and the free people. And so Hagar goes out, she gets a wife out of Egypt for him, and now you have the Egyptians married into the Ishmaelites. Isn't that interesting? And you have all these countries around Israel. Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, Muslim countries that are overlooking the mountains, like Ezekiel says, and want to swallow up Israel. And that conflict has to be resolved, because he's not kicking the Arabs out. God wants the Arabs there, and he wants the Jews there, and they're going to have to resolve their differences. Only Christ can do that. That's the only way that can happen. So it's a fascinating unfolding here. Look at Genesis chapter 17. Abraham's 99 years old, still doesn't have a child. He actually thinks it could be Ishmael. He doesn't know. And chapter 17, it says the Lord appeared unto Abram. Several times it says the Lord appears unto Abram. You're going to learn that these appearances are not just anybody. These appearances are of the Messiah, pre-incarnate. And so in Genesis 17, he says, I'll make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And then he gives him a command. And it's the first mitzvah, all right, that we have, the first part of the Torah. He says, thy name shall not be called Abram anymore, but Abraham, father of many nations. There's his universal role. He's the father of many nations. He's going to reach out. His name and his influence will reach out to the entire world. He's going to produce a nation that has global clans, global influence. A father of many nations, a father of faith. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. A king shall come out of thee. And then he gives him a covenant. Take a look at the covenant. This is my covenant. Every man child, verse 10, among you shall be circumcised. And there's the bris. That's the bris. 8 days, a Jewish person, I had a bris, and that's when you get your name, by the way. Your Jewish boy gets his name on the 8th day. Jesus had a bris. That's when they named him Yeshua, on his 8th day. And a bris, by the way, you hold a bris even if it's the Sabbath. Even if you have to transport a moil, a surgeon, in a car to your house on the Shabbat, you do it. It overrides the Sabbath. Jesus used that argument. So here's the origin of the bris. And I've talked to Jewish people. They don't even know where it comes from. Well, here it is. It's a sign of the covenant that God made with Abraham. Wow. Isn't that amazing? They don't even know when they're doing the bris that it's a sign in the flesh, cutting away the flesh, right, of the very organ where children will come from as a reminder in their flesh that God has a permanent covenant with them. Couldn't get more permanent than that. Couldn't get more indelible than that, that every Jewish boy is reminded of that covenant every time, you know, he thinks of his bris. Now, God did that deliberately. He did it to remind them, and they still do it today. It's so entrenched in Jewish in history. Okay, take a look at Genesis chapter 18, because it becomes very important. Look at 18 verse 1. The Jews have a tough time with this one. When we get to objections, I'm going to go into this in more detail. And the Lord appeared unto him. There's the word appeared. And that word appeared in Hebrew means you see something. It's a physical manifestation. It's not just a vision. The Lord appeared. And it's capital L-O-R-D. If you're in King James, that's Yahweh. That's Jehovah, appeared. And he lifted up his eyes, verse 2, and he sees three men standing there. Well, one of those men is Yahweh, is the Lord, is the Messiah, is the pre-incarnate Messiah. And there's so many different appearances of him throughout Jewish history. Unbelievable. And the Jews can't make sense of this. They have to deal with it, and they don't know how to deal with it. And I'll go into more detail in another session, but he meets the Lord. In front of his tent, and the Lord gives him a promise. He says, Sarah indeed shall have a baby. And she does. At the time of life, he returns. Look at Genesis chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah. He's 99, he's 100 years old when he has this baby. Sarah is 90. So she went through labor pains, and she nursed that child. She nursed the child, she's 90 years old. Miracle birth. Miracle child. Yitzhak means laughter. She laughed when she heard it. Now she's laughing with God. She laughed at the whole idea of it. And now she calls him Yitzhak, really, basically, meaning laughter. I'm laughing with God now. And you got a supernatural child who, in the next chapter, by the way, is going to be offered on an altar, just like Christ, right, and received back, just like Christ was resurrected from the dead. So you got a supernatural child born, right, to a dead couple, who's going to be offered and resurrected. Who does that sound like? Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? And that's what it's supposed to be like. That's what Hebrews 11 says. He's a figure, right, of that person, the Messiah. So again, you have these pictures, all given in the Torah. I'm not going to go into great detail in Genesis 22, but it's that same son that he has to take up on Mount Moriah. That same son, Genesis 22. Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. Take now thy son, thine only son, Yitzchak. And this is inscribed in Jewish history, and that's why I'm reading it to you. Because the Akedah, which is what this is called, the Binding of Isaac, is read on Rosh Hashanah, right before the Day of Atonement. It is so ingrained that they're saying that that son, Isaac, represents the Passover lamb. That son, Isaac, represents our sacrifice to God. And on the Day of Atonement, they're asking God to remember the offering of Isaac. That's how significant it is in Jewish culture. So he says, your only son. Now, he had two sons. But for the purposes of inheritance, Isaac's the only son. He's the heir. He's the firstborn son. He's the supernatural son. And that only son, Abraham gave up on Mount Moriah. Isn't it interesting? On Mount Moriah. So what happened? Where is Mount Moriah now? You go to the Wailing Wall, right? You go to Jerusalem. That's Mount Moriah. One of the mountains. What happened on Mount Moriah? Christ died on Mount Moriah. On one of those mountains. That's where he was crucified. That's where Isaac was offered. That's where the temple was built. And you have another picture of the Messiah in Genesis 22. And on the third day, when he offers Isaac up on that mountain, he gets him back on the third day. Just like Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. So you have a wonderful picture here. I mean, and that's why Genesis just lays these foundations, picture upon picture. Go to Genesis chapter 25. Isaac grows up. And he marries Rebekah. And Rebekah, look at Genesis 25. And by the way, there's a brief lineage given of Ishmael. And that's very significant. I won't go into it because he's going to settle in Saudi Arabia. And when you get to verse 25, 20, Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to be his wife, the daughter of Bethuel. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. So Sarah was barren. Now Rebekah's barren. They don't have much luck, do they? This is a family that can't have kids. And yet they're going to have kids as numerous as the stars in the heaven. That's a miracle. Never worry about the diminishing of the Jewish people. You ever wonder, God says, I'm going to make you as the stars and the sand. And after the tribulation, they're going to be whittled down to one third. So where is this great population going to come from? 1,000 years. You can have a lot of kids in 1,000 years, can't you? 1,000-year reign, they're going to have billions of kids. Unbelievable. They're going to live a long time. That's when that promise comes true. Because it has to come true. They've lost a lot of population in the Holocaust, about 6 million. They're going to lose two-thirds more in the tribulation. There's going to be nothing left of them, right? But they're going to repopulate the earth for 1,000 years, and God's going to keep his promise in the land. So it's amazing what God has in store for the Jewish people. And Rebecca can't have a child. And she's harassing her husband there, you know. She's fetching to him, old Jewish word. And he goes to God, and then she gets an answer. He's 40 years old. He entreated the Lord for his wife. And she has two children. She has twins. And they're struggling. And one is Jacob and the other is Esau. And here again, you have the natural order being upset. And you'll always see in Jewish history, the natural order always gets trumped by the supernatural. It's always the supernatural that wins over the natural. It's always life over old age, life over death, small people over big people. It's always the overpowering supernatural that trumps the natural. And so people think they can get rid of the Jews. They're nothing. They're minuscule, right? And they can't do it. They're little people in the midst of a bunch of enemies, right? And they can't dislodge them. Never will. So Genesis 25, she's got twins. And she doesn't know what's going on. She goes to the Lord. He says, two nations are in thy womb, two manner of people. They'll be separated, one from the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. What's that? That's an overriding of the natural order of things. Because it's always the older that gets the privileges. And here Esau is going to come out second. And young Jacob, the baby, he comes out holding his heel. So he's Yaakov, the heel catcher. The supplanter. The one who's going to surpass his brother. And later on, he's going to graduate from that title, Yaakov, to be called Israel. A prince with God. He's going to go through a lot of trials, just like Israel. And he's going to graduate to be a ruler. So his very life is a pattern for us to see the history of Israel. Again, you have patterns and pictures, which God does constantly with the nation of Israel. Genesis 26, God reiterates the covenant to Isaac. He says, sojourn in this land, 26 verse 3, and I will be with thee and bless thee unto thee and to thy seed. Remember Christ? I will give all these countries. Okay, look at chapter 27. Isaac gives the blessing. And he's about to bless Esau. And there's been rivalry between Esau and Jacob since they were born. At one point, Jacob bargains for the birthright. And Esau sells it to him. And he's just an impulsive man. He thinks immediately. He's the stronger physically. He's the superior as far as advantage, position. But he's going to lose. Because again, God has a plan for Jacob, which takes place, which supplants. He's the supplanter.
This has been a special presentation of the Everlasting Nation broadcast. Brother Howard Rothenberg presented this series during the 2013 four-day focus that was held at IBJM. For more information, contact us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. We invite you to join us next time as we continue this message. Until then, may God bless and shalom.